The world news is full of stories of the divisions between the Sunni and Shia movements in Islam, right up to today in Iraq, with bombings linked to Sunni militants targeting mostly Shiite areas.
Our next guest will help us take a step back to understand the historical origins of this major split within the Muslim world. Carol Murphy is an independent journalist and author of A Kingdom's Future, Saudi Arabia Through the Eyes of Its 20-somethings. Carol, welcome to the show.
Hello, Judith. Nice to be with you.
Thanks for joining us. Carol, what first led to this split between the Sunni and Shia movements in the Islamic world?
Well, this sectarian divide really goes back to early Islam in the 7th century. After Prophet Muhammad died in 632, there were basically two factions among the early Muslims. One faction believed that the successor to Prophet Muhammad should be chosen from among his closest companions and advisors. But there was another faction that believed that his successor should come from his family, that the reign should be hereditary. And this faction was led by Ali, who was the cousin of Prophet Muhammad, and also his son-in-law. He had married the daughter of Prophet Muhammad. Her name was Fatima. So this competition lasted for some decades, and until there was, in 680, a really definitive battle between the Sunni and the Shia. And this took place in what's now southern Iraq. It was called the Battle of Karbala. And the Sunni armies there defeated the Shiites, and they killed the then leader of the Shiites, Hussein, who was the grandson of Prophet Muhammad. And since then, there's been this basic division in Islam. And throughout the Middle East, there are both Sunni and Shia communities. Sometimes they live in peace, and sometimes they don't. It's a split that's waxed and waned over the centuries.
So it doesn't sound like it's really a theological difference. It sounds like it's more of who should be leading the world's Muslims.
Well, you're absolutely right. This is a difference that's religious, but it's always blended with geopolitical and ethnic rivalries. For example, you know, the Arab world is Arab. They speak Arabic. They are predominantly Sunni, although there are two Arab states that have a Shia majority, and that's Iraq and the tiny island state of Bahrain. Now, Iran is sort of the leader of the Shia world, or wants to be. That's a predominantly Shia state, and they are Persians. They speak Farsi, so they're ethnically different from the Arabs. But as you know, in this part of the world, religion is always closely associated with government and politics. So behind the sectarian divide, there is always the political angle.
And would you say that both the Sunni and the Shia see this as an irreconcilable difference?
Unfortunately, I think today many do. Although, you know, the basic differences between them as far as the basic doctrine of Islam are not great. Both Shia and Sunni believe in the five pillars of Islam, which is good Muslim says prayers five times a day, he tithes on his income, he fasts during Ramadan, he makes the profession of faith, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. And finally, if he or she can, they make a pilgrimage to Mecca. There's no big difference between Sunni and Shia on that. The differences come in how they interpret Islam's holy book, the Quran, and how they choose their leaders. The Sunni religious leaders have typically been associated very closely with the state. They've been state-appointed. The Shia religious leaders have basically risen through a process of consensus among their peers that this is a person whose scholarship is worthy of being followed. So, unfortunately, today, in recent years, for several reasons, which I can tell you about, this sectarian divide has become much more intense in the last few decades, and it's partly because, again, of the political differences that are driving it.
So there's been a lot of conflict over really centuries between the Sunni and the Shia. But have there been occasions in that history where they have actually been united against maybe a common enemy?
Well, sometimes they do, but I can't think of any case right now. But I can say that during for many centuries, you know, there was the Ottomans ruling from the Ottoman Empire. They ruled most of the Arab world, and they had sort of a peace, a Pax Ottoman, where the Shia communities sort of led themselves and lived peacefully under that Sunni caliphate.
And let's look even more deeply within the Sunni and Shia sects of Islam. Have there been divisions or conflicts within each of those two larger groups?
Oh, definitely. There are different trends in Sunni Islam, and there are definitely different trends in Shia Islam. For example, the leaders of present-day Syria belong to a minority Shia denomination called the Alawites. And this is one reason that the leaders of Syria have had an alliance of almost 40 years with Iran, which is a major Shiite power. But in recent years, this sectarian rivalry has gotten more intense, and it began sort of with the Iranian Revolution in 1979, which brought to the fore a regime that's been very aggressive in pushing its brand of very conservative, almost fundamentalist Islam. And then Iran began to meddle in Arab affairs, especially in Lebanon, where it helped create this militia, political party called Hezbollah. And then came the invasion of Iraq. And that has had an impact on this sectarian rivalry. Why? For years, Iraq was ruled by its Sunni minority. But after the U.S. invaded and created a new regime there with elections, of course, the Shia majority, because of elections, was going to win. And now the Shia are leading Iraq. And this, because the Shia have had close ties with Iran, this has allowed Iran to have greater influence in the Arab country of Iraq. And this has made other countries, particularly Saudi Arabia, very nervous. Saudi Arabia sees Iran as its geopolitical rivalry in the Middle East.
And have you seen either a widening of the differences between the Sunni and the Shia, or perhaps a narrowing as a result of the Arab Spring that has gone across the Muslim world?
The Arab Spring, unfortunately, has led to a greater division, a deeper division. You can see the last couple of years has been increased conflict in Syria, in Iraq, in Bahrain, even in Lebanon, and many times, not always, because partly this is a political conflict, but sometimes it does have a lot to do with the sectarian Shia divide, especially in a place like Bahrain and Iraq.
And you've written about 20-somethings in Saudi Arabia. Is the Sunni-Shia divide something that's really forefront on their minds, or is it something that they don't think about as much as perhaps an older generation?
The answer is yes and no. I found that the younger people in Saudi are not as preoccupied with the prejudice against Shia. You know, the Shia make up only about 10 to 15% of Saudi Arabia's population, so they are a minority. The older generation is definitely much more anti-Shia. I'm talking about the Sunnis, among the Sunnis. The older generation is much more anti-Shia than the younger generation. But at the same time, I cannot say honestly that they don't have some prejudice still towards the Shia. It's just lesser, a little lesser than their older peers.
And just a follow-up on that before we're finished, do you think the younger generations will actually help to close the sectarian divide and perhaps bring some healing between the two sects?
I would hope so, but I don't see that in the foreseeable future, because one of the ways you reduce religious sectarian tensions is to have a more open, tolerant, democratic society. And right now, the Middle East is in such turmoil and such tumult that I don't see this coming in the foreseeable future. I think it's going to possibly be another decade.
Carol, thanks so much for joining us today.
You're welcome, Judith. It's been a pleasure.
That was Carol Murphy, independent journalist and author of A Kingdom's Future, Saudi Arabia Through the Eyes of Its 20-somethings.